Okay. Right, so first of all, I'm going to show you some pictures. I've got a bit of a slideshow put together. Okay, so Paraguay 2016. Next one. So when I arrived, very fetching. I was expecting it to be warm and hot and sunny, because at this time of year is their spring, so they're just about to go into the summer. And because I've been there so many times before, and I've been this time, it's always been warm. So I took very little clothing, as in warm clothing. I just took my t-shirts and stuff. So the first 4 days, it rained and rained and rained. This is the water that was just sloshing down the street. I spent evenings in bed with my hoodie that I took and my coat that I took, which I ended up giving someone anyway. But I took that. So that was great. I had, because all I had on the bed was a sheet and a blanket, which for me was just really not, you know, I was freezing. Then somebody lent me that fire, and after the second evening, I found out that that's the only fire they've got in this whole massive place, and they lent it to me overnight so I could get some sleep. So I felt a bit bad with that.
So I went out.
No, I went out and bought some fires. So I said, okay, Lord, that's the first thing they need. They need some fires, because everyone was freezing. A lot of the children were ill with chest infections again. I ended up getting chest infection again. I always do when I go there, and it's just the climate because it's hot and cold. So, okay, next one. Okay, so because it was cold and that, we stayed inside a lot of the time for the first 4 or 5 days. So these are all the boys in the house that I looked after before. There's a couple of new ones. This is my godson, Corky. So he's now growing up. He's 11 years of age. So he's grown quite a lot since last time. It's 2 years since I last went there. And these are the cars that some of you have bought. So nice of you to see them in the hands of the little ones. I know that I'm not keeping them back for Christmas presents. So next one. Again, these are little boys. These are some of the bits that people had got together from the church. So this was inside. These are some of the sort of middle-aged boys. And they'd done some painting for some stuff that Doreen had bought. So that was them. It was really good because they made them and then they put them all on their wall, which is nice. It just brights up their houses. Yeah. Next one. This was the card that Gwyneth made from Sunday school. So I gave that. It was really hard because there's 6 houses. So it's like, I wanted them to all know that the kids had been thinking of them, but there was like the one card. And I thought, I never thought about that before. We should have done 6. So anyway, I gave it to these girls and I said that the kids in England were thinking of them. And I've also got, they wanted to say thank you. So they've actually painted, I told them to do a card. I said, if you'd like to make a card, and they said, how can we do one each? I said, that's fine. So we've got some cards, some bits of paper for the kids here afterwards to come and get for their walls, just to remember that they're thinking of you. And this was a little girl, Carisha. And she's just got a little cuddly toy I've given her, so. Next one. So these are the little girls. So again, spending time inside the house with the pens and pencils bought. So just thank you really for all everything that you've contributed. This little boy Will, he's now 4, nearly 5, but he's really, really tiny. And that's because when he came to the home, he was really undernourished. And so obviously it does stunt their growth, and so it takes them a long time to, to get. In fact, some of the girls, like 15, 16, they're still absolutely so thin because of early childhood being malnourished. He thought it was good fun when I gave him the stickers to put them all over my face. So I had to teach him they're supposed to go on the paper. And then this boy here, Santiago, he's the one that about 4 years ago now when I went, remember the last presentation, I got school uniform for two boys and sent them to school. Okay, so he's one of the boys. So every time I go back, I give school uniform. We also got school uniform for this one here, Jonathan. With the money and everything that people gave me, somebody specifically said to me, I want you to buy school uniform. So I bought 5 sets of school uniforms. So they had 10 pairs of trousers and 2 shirts each. And then, because I didn't know what size they were now, I had to sort of guess, so I kind of bought a selection. And I had two shirts left over. And I said to the lady in the house that these are size 14 to 15. And although the boys are sort of 14 and 15, they're so much smaller than, you know, than our kids, really. So she said, well, next door, she said, Sylvia and Ruthie, she said, they wear shirts. So I said, do they? I said, I thought the girls wear white dresses. So this is for the state school. So she said, yeah, but if they've got shirts and a little skirt, then they wear it. So it'd be nice for them. So I said, okay. So I went in, Ruthie, Sylvia, got them to one side and they tried them on. They're absolutely perfect.
Very nice.
And they were, oh, gracias, gracias. They were so excited. And then the lady in the house said, oh, but you haven't got a skirt. And they said, yeah, yeah, yes, we have got a skirt. We have got a skirt. And they showed me. So I said, oh, lovely. And so they said, can we show you what we look like in our uniforms? So I said, okay. So they put it on, but their shoes were all really old and tatty and everything. I said, you need new shoes? They went, yeah, we need new shoes. Okay. So the next day, I went out and I bought new shoes for them. And again, it's just because of what you've all done. It's amazing. But it's good that you can do that, isn't it? And I think that's the thing with supporting. Sometimes when you support charities, you don't know where the money's going. And a lot of it goes in administration and stuff like that. But I think when you're going out there and you can see the difference, it's great. But I haven't got pictures because you can't just go around taking pictures all the time because otherwise it looks a bit, oh, I've done this. Do you know what I mean? So I haven't got pictures of that. Okay, next one. So these are the boys, some of the boys in the house. Again, this is my godson. And they were just doing some of these cards to say thank you to the kids. This was when it stopped raining and some of the boys got out. Still a bit chilly, but they got out and started playing football. And this is a new thing to when I last went 2 years ago, a volleyball net. So again, at least the kids can get out now outside when it is nice and play volleyball. These are new old swings that again, you know, they're not ideal, probably not health and safety for this country, but out there, fantastic, they're a bit rickety. But it's nice that the sun comes out and they can get outside. And these are two new girls. Again, they're just pictures for you, they're pictures of kids, and it's like, but you know, they're really special. They're lovely, lovely kids, and they've got a real heart for God. At that age, they already know their Bible. They can recite certain things because they teach them. So it's really important, in their lives. Okay, these were the little flutes. I think one got them, didn't you, run in? So they went down well. Drove everyone mad because they weren't, you know, the best of. But yeah, it was good fun seeing them. And it's just me with some of the girls. Because this little girl I've known since she was about two. So again, it's nice to see them growing up into young ladies. And this was, again, sun's out, so we've got painting. And these are the benches that they have in their houses for the tables. So that's, again, they were doing some of these paintings. And this is, it's a typical day. I come out there and it's all, Angie, they're all diving all over me and everything. So it's just really good fun, really. It's nice you can be there for them. So this was the day we went to school. I went to school with them. You can't really see very well, but you know, the minibus and all that, it's very basic now, falling apart a bit. But they have fun. And these kids are from the state school. So the thing that they do out there is they send them to state school. If they are quite intelligent and they're getting on really well, they try and, they're always trying to get funding for all of them to go to the Baptist school, but it costs about £30 a month for them to be sent there. Mm-hmm. And not only that, the school uniform is quite expensive as well. It's really hard because I know they can't do it for everybody, but I always feel a bit bad because it's almost like the good and the bad. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like it's cutting the line through the poor and the rich, even though they're all. That is one of the reasons that when I go out there, the school uniform I buy, it's all fresh and new and lovely, is for the kids in the state school. Because it just makes them feel special and happy that they've got something nice and clean and, you know, they're actually worth as much as the other kids. So that's the shirts, obviously, and bits and pieces. Sylvia is the one that I was talking about with the shirt, who was really, really happy, and the one that we got shoes for. And this was Ruthie. who also we got school uniform. And this one's my goddaughter, Jacqueline, who again has grown up so much in 2 years. She's now 15. She's now at college, and she's got her graduation, because out there they have like a big party at the end of college when they're 15, 16, yeah. Except they wear all white and great big flashy heels, and I won't be doing that next week. I'll be in black, yeah. In a gown. So that's that one. This was the one evening I got to take my kids out, so that was really, really lovely. And we got dropped off at McDonald's. And I said, right, you don't have to go to McDonald's. But to them, it's a treat, because they only go to McDonald's when I go there. So it's 2 years since they went to McDonald's. But because Jacqueline's having a graduation, I said, well, I want to take you out for a nice meal. You can choose which restaurant you go to. So we walked around what they call the plaza. And she chose this particular restaurant, and yeah, it was really lovely sitting out and having time with them. This one I put in because this was 2 years ago. You probably remember it from 2 years ago. Yeah. And this was this time. Yeah. So again, you can see how he's aged. Yeah. I'm not saying anything about me. And the next one. And this one was little Robert. Again, I've known him since he was 18 months old and changing his horrible nappies. And he's just like, this is him now. He went and picked through those little flowers. I said, I'll get someone to take a picture. So again, you can see like them growing. I think it's nice to see, you know, the growing ash of them. And this was a few times a week, I think it's Mondays and Wednesdays, some of the girls get together in the afternoon and pray. And in the morning, the boys do. And the thing I liked about this was I was passing, I could hear all this worship coming from the house. I thought, oh, wow. And when I was talking to some of the girls, like before, they had to go, otherwise they'd get in trouble and stuff like that. But now it's free, you know. It's kind of, if you want to go, you go, and if you don't, you don't. And it's so nice to see, you know, these girls worshipping. And, you know, like we pray individually, they pray all together, and they're singing and you know, in the spirit, and it's just amazing. And they're doing it because they want to do it and because they love the Lord. So I sort of went in and was doing the same with them. I sort of put my phone out. You don't like to do it, do you? Because it's but at the same time, I sort of thought, I really just want to, you know, grasp some of this. Yeah. And just took a very short video clip of it and then did a still from my phone, which I found out you can do. So that was that. This was the last day, this was the day I left the orphanage, I think it was. I got bitten on my ankle, and my ankle started to swell up, and it was really, really bad. And originally, I was supposed to be going straight to a missionary couple that I know in Ciudad del Este. But unfortunately, their plans had changed, which was typically Paraguayan. Yeah. But their plans had changed, and they weren't going to be at home. But I was going to get a kind of, I know I was going to contribute towards petrol, but I was going to get kind of a free lift on the Friday to their house in Ciudad del Este. It's about a 3.5-4 hour journey. So I then had to make a decision. Do I wait until Sunday when they're back and get a bus, which I was a bit scared about because it's not the safest place to be, or do I still get that lift on the Friday and book in a hotel for 2 nights? Which, again, a girl on her own, wasn't so sure. So I contacted my missionary friends and I said, well, look, is there somewhere that they can drop me off to for 2 nights? And she said, yeah, there's a conference centre around the corner. She said, you'll be fine. So that's what we did. They worked out £45 for 2 nights, bed and breakfast, and it was amazing. So I got there and got unpacked, and it was just absolutely glorious. So there was me for my 2 days. I just had to put that in. But you know what, I needed that so much. I had a really bad chest infection, and I could hardly walk. I think 2 more days at the orphanage would have just broken me. So, and I got to listen to all the sermons from here. So I had Dennis in the room preaching to me. The Lord was there. Yeah. So after 2 days of rest and recuperation, I felt great. And we went on the road to the indigenous village to do what I really felt my calling was. So first of all, we had to go to the pharmacist there. And this is a supplier from the hospital that gets all their drugs and everything. And in Paraguay, you can literally, you know, have what you like. So we worked out what the problems probably would be, because obviously these people have been there for a couple of years, and we got our stocks up. this is where they live. This is, they've all got that little, these are their houses, they're kind of like huts. They're just made from the wood of the trees and the earth, basically, and the straw and everything. And this was when we got there. But wow, this is the village, you know, so this is just typical of what's there. So when we got there, after about 3 hours of sitting down, suddenly all the people start gathering, because every week my friends go there and they give them, they deliver the word, so they're giving them Bible lessons. And this is her holding up pictures, and she's got the writing on the back in Guarani. So in this village, they don't speak Spanish, they speak only Guarani, which is quite a difficult language for us. But yeah, they went to college and learned how to speak it, which is the only way. If you're going to speak to people, you need to speak their language. So that was that. And this is her holding up the pictures, just to make it obviously visible as well as anything else. But this was a bit later on in the day. The chief of the village gave us this hut, or this house, should I say. I don't want to disrespect where they live. They gave us this house, and this was the house. And so we got all our stuff in and started to set up clinic. So all the bits and pieces on the side, there was. That's all right, it's not interesting. The sailor, do you want to grab that one? The saline was what we made up the day before, because we found we couldn't buy it, because obviously here we get it in sachets and stuff like that, and when we went to the suppliers we were asking for gauze, and they came out with this great big long package. It's all in, you know, long lines. So we spent about 3 hours the night before cutting up into squares and putting them in freezer bags to make it as aseptic as we can. Obviously it's not ideal, but it was better than nothing. And so we boiled up our own saline. So these were the first day we saw. We did say we were going to see just adults on the first day and then children the next day, which we pretty much stuck to, but there was a few kids in between on this one. So these are the two sort of oldest ladies in the village. They're both in their 80s, and I think they just wanted reassurance more than anything, because they've all had lung problems, which is to be expected. There's a lot of, because it's so cold and there's no running water, there's no electricity, there's nothing, all they have for heat is fires. So obviously the smoke is going to be getting down their lungs forever. In fact, I was quite surprised that they've got people of 80s in the village, so that was good. So I was just doing blood pressures, checking lungs and stuff like that with some of the elderly ladies. This was a guy who came to us that had got a snake bite. And although I wasn't experienced in how to treat a snake bite, as I wasn't in a lot of things that came my way in that village, it really just needed a bit of a clear up, and he needed some antibiotics. He'd been to the hospital weeks before when it first happened, and they'd given him what they'd prescribed him, and so it's for us it was just like, okay, we need to just maintain what he's had in the past. These are the little kids that were queuing up to see us, and lovely little kids, seemed pretty happy. I mean, in the village, I was told before I went in, don't expect eye contact, because it's kind of not their thing, and they will probably shy away from you, and they might not tell you anything, they might not even come. A lot of them won't let us pray with them yet, some will, some won't. There's a shaman there, a witch doctor, and so if they have problems they normally go to him. But actually what happened was the witch doctor came to me, which was pretty amazing. I didn't know he was a witch doctor until he'd gone, and then they said that's the witch doctor. Really? I think stereotypically you think it's going to be someone with hate and scars, and you know, but he wasn't, he just looked like a normal Paraguayan to me. And then when his son came to me for some treatment, there's a few things that he needed, and I said to John, I said, can you ask him if I can pray for him? And he said, oh, he won't let you. So I said, well, can you just ask him? He won't let you. I said, okay, just ask him. So I asked him, and he went, yeah. And I'm like, yes. It was really great. So he actually let us pray for him. So that was great. And I was kind of expecting some manifestation, which you do see in people that are, have got obviously demonic things inside them and spirits. But it didn't happen. It would have been a great testimony, but I'm not lying. You will only hear the truth. But it was peaceful. It was peaceful. But, you know, it made us think, maybe there isn't so much demonic stuff going on as we think. We think that these, what they call witch doctors and shaman, it must be all spiritual stuff because they're chanted and stuff. But it's kind of like learned stuff through, you know, through the past. And so I don't know, but all I know is that every person that I prayed with, it was peaceful and lovely and great, oh, this little girl, bless her. She'd fallen over and just grazed her arm. So again, it was just a bit of patching up. A lot of it was patching up and praying. But, you know, that's sometimes what we're there for, isn't it? And this little boy, again, it's just so sad. A lot of the children, most of the children have got nits, and a lot of them have got lice. And where the lice have laid the eggs, and it kind of goes like really gluey. And so a lot of their hair is all like spiky and set up, but it's all eggs and lice. And what can you do? Because, what, you know, we gave out soap and stuff like that. Talk said, like, you need to wash. You really need to cut the hair really short. That would be ideal. But they're like, oh, we don't like to do that. So you can only do what you can do. You can give advice and all the rest of it. And I think from what one of my friends said in the past, where they had kind of done or taken people out, and they'd given them advice, not medically, but just friends. They haven't really listened anyway, so it's really difficult. If you're living with it all the time, I don't know. You get used to it. Again, this was a little girl trying to get some stuff out of her hair, and that was early morning. I've got my jumper on still. We started at 5:30 every morning and went on till 6:00 at night when it started to get dark and we couldn't see anymore. So. But to be honest, I was ready to go at 5:30. I was ready to go at 4:00. I said to Dennis, I took this really silly video. I couldn't even remember making it. It was 5:00 in the morning. And I was laying there in my tent and I was just like... Still dug here all these hours. But anyway, it's worth it for 2 days. Again, these are all the babies that got brought to us. Lots of them have got parasites, you know, living in their skin and on their skin. So there's a lot of clearing up of parasite wounds. This little girl got chest infection. As I say, there's quite a lot of that. A lot of them were coughing and sputtering. There's also been a lot of TB in the village recently. So my friends that go in, if there's anyone really ill, they normally take them to the hospital, which is about 2 or 3 hours away. But then they say they sit there waiting for 12, 13 hours. And then they get given a packet of antibiotics. And that's it. Bye. You know, and it's expensive for them, obviously. Well, they haven't got money. The villagers haven't got money because they don't live on money. So they're real basic. They grow what they grow. They eat it. And that's it. They don't get paid. They do the work because that's what keeps them living. So that was just me. I don't know what I was doing, I don't know what I was thinking, but John obviously captured that moment, so. and that was our staple diet whilst we were in the village, because again, we've got no electricity, no running water, anything like that. We took some bottles of water in with us, and we took packets of noodles, and we took loads of chocolate milk in cartons, which is UHT. So we just lived on cartons of chocolate milk and noodles, which is why I put on about £12 when I got there. Not because I was eating loads. So this was my tent. This was the little house that we made into a clinic, but that's where my friends normally stay. So they've got 2 Zed beds that they put together, and they've got this little net for their baby. And this was when all the noise was going on. I opened my tent and quickly flashed my phone because I knew it would capture something, and this was what I saw. So there was a dog rummaging around and geese and stuff. Finally. Oh yeah, so once all that was done, and we got back to my friend's house for the last 2 days. This was Ramon. He used to live at the orphanage since he was about 4 or 5 years of age. he's now moved on from the orphanage and he's living with my friends, and they're just getting him together and teaching him how to manage money and stuff like that, because that's the unfortunate thing. There doesn't seem to be much of an exit plan. So I think that's something that needs working on, obviously, in the future. It needs to be prayed about. But yeah, he's doing really well, and he's now the manager. He's been gone nearly 2 years in January, and he's now the manager at Burger King in Supervillette, which is a really good job for anyone in that sort of, you know, circumstance. This is little Alicia, who's John and Rachel's little baby, and she's a real treasure. So this was when we went from Brazil. These are the Brazilian colours. And these are the Argentina colours.
Oh,
so
right.
Once everything's stamped and you go through customs, you have to go over a bridge. So we thought it would be a really good idea to have a mess about on the bridge. And so we had some silly photos taken, and then one where I'd got one foot in Brazil, one foot in Argentina, you know, and that sort of thing. Like you do. These are two of the other girls that have exited the children's home. This one, Noelia, has left because... her mum was dying about a year ago, and so the family contacted her and said, can you help? So, because a lot of children are in the orphanage because their mothers can't afford to feed them and look after them. But obviously, when they need their help, they then say, right, you can come out and you can come and help us. But bless her, she did. She went and looked after her mum, nursed her, and her mum died. But her mum has left her and her sister the house that her mum lived in. So, and because her sister's got a job and she's got children, she's looking after the children whilst her sister earns money. So that was good. So it was good to catch up with her and, you know, give her a little something to help with the food and stuff. And the other girl, Mariana, she exited because she fell in love with Ramon. Quite rightly, he's a lovely guy. But they've both been brought up together. So they left the children's home to be together. It didn't work out, but she's got a job looking after... Well, no, she's not actually looking after children now. She's actually working in a restaurant. She was looking after somebody's children, but now she's working in an outside sort of restaurant, which is good. Okay, and this is John and Rachel, who are Elim missionaries. They've been with the organisation for many years. They used to live at the orphanage. That's how I sort of came to know their contacts. That's how I met them. And then they moved on to Honduras and did a lot of youth work in Honduras. And their passion and their vision is really is really for the youth. And they're hoping at some stage to try and have some, you know, some plan of looking after people when they're in between places. So they've left something and they're going to move on. They're kind of like a halfway house, but maybe 12 to 18 months to be able to get them and teach them money and living and stuff like that. So that's the end?
That's it.
Okay, so that's the photos.